All right, well, let me jump on over here to the opening monologue. As always, the opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, we call it, sponsored for you by attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. We'll tell you more about Stan here in a minute, but yes, he is indeed Stan McDonald, partner at Wilmer & Lee in Huntsville, sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So here's the thing. We are in the throes of the nomination and confirmation process for the incoming Trump administration, right? We are. By and large, I'm pretty personally satisfied with the pool of candidates for all the major positions that have been tapped thus far. I haven't tracked all of them. I don't know any of them personally, but what I can see, I like. And one of the things that I see is that nowhere in the mix has President-elect Trump bragged that he is proud to nominate any single one of them because they are breaking a glass ceiling. I got news, man. Glass ceilings are not all they're cracked up to be. I mean, if it just so happens that the best person for the job just so happens to be the first woman, the first black man, the first veteran, the first purple dude from the dark side of the moon, great. But they should never be tapped for any position of leadership because of their skin color, their lifestyle, their gender, never. That is antithetical to what we refer to as meritocracy, the idea that someone has earned it, has merit, not just they have skin color. What's funny is that Trump has indeed picked a highly qualified and highly diverse group of folks. I'm talking black, white, first-generation Americans, male, female, you name it. And they're all highly qualified. And the liberals don't know what to do with that because he didn't give them their intersectionalities. He didn't define them in advance. He didn't say, I will pick the next blank for this position. And oh, by the way, they'll have to be qualified too. Yeah, this has been big. The liberals need to have their intersectionalities. They want the groups labeled all in advance. That's how this works, right? No. Well, if you're more into glass ceilings getting cracked than you are into running the country, then yeah, it would be. But most of us, we just want the best candidate based on merit, skill, acumen, experience. Now, look, I've had some experiences at hiring and firing over the years. One of the lessons that I learned the hard way caused me to coin a phrase that I will hire the person before I'll hire the resume. But by saying that, I'm not talking about their external qualities. I'm referring to the strength of their character. Because once I'm satisfied that the person is the kind of person that brings true value to the team, then I go next into their actual qualifications. But I don't look at things like just skin color or just gender. That's not meritocracy. The things that are on the resume, like skills or education or experience, those are indeed important and you need to have them. And they actually should kind of weigh heavy in the decision-making process and not just be secondary to the intersectionalities that the liberal left wants all the time. So to put it in HR terms, the background check comes first and the resume comes next. It's the basics of merit-based employment, that you hire someone not on their appearance, or how it makes your company look to outsiders, or whether the Human Rights Campaign gave you a high enough score on their LGBTQ annex. But what makes your organization the most effective, that's the word, effective is what it's supposed to be doing when you hire people. If we don't demand that our government return to the idea of finding the best person for the job, then we will continue to receive mediocrity and not meritocracy. It's an actual disaster. I had an experience once that galvanized me into the belief that a person should never be given a position that they have no right or capability to perform. On my second deployment in the global war on terror, this time to Baghdad, I had my team augmented with several guys that I had never worked with before. One of them seemed real solid, seemed like he knew his stuff. It was his second deployment as well. He jumped right in during what I quickly discovered was just a honeymoon period. As time went on, though, he became more and more disruptive, belligerent even. His communications became very short. It came to a head when he actually bucked my authority during a very dicey combat operation late one night in central Baghdad. And I wrote him up. A counseling statement, for the record, to establish what I was concerned would need to be a paper trail. Apparently it didn't sit well with him. His behavior did not change. In fact, it got worse. In the coming weeks, I finally took steps and had him relieved of duty in the war zone. And I sent him packing with his bags and baggage back to our battalion headquarters. And that's when I began to get the word from others that, oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time he'd been kicked off of a team.
What?
Yeah, because there was no record for it. There was no record for unwitting future bosses like me to see. It turns out this guy had been relieved of duty on his team in Afghanistan. So In my wake, I submitted all the counseling statements, and then I prepared to write his evaluation report, because technically he had been under my rating scheme long enough to do so. But I was told not to do it, that it would be done by someone else, and I was not satisfied with that answer, So I submitted a memorandum for record of all the information that I would have included had I been allowed to write it. I learned that a few weeks later he was given his own team in another part of the area of operations. By the end of the tour, his new team couldn't stand him, and he refused to come to their own award ceremony when they received their commendations and medals for time in the war zone. Look, it was that singular experience. I tell you that story because that singular experience convinced me to never allow myself to be forced into hiring somebody simply because of some external qualification. When someone's allowed to have a position of responsibility without the truth of their character or their abilities or their actual experiences being at the forefront, well, everybody loses. That guy, he was on my team, creating havoc in the war zone because someone in his past saw fit to just let it ride. Let future bosses deal with it. And that guy got his own team after being dismissed from two others simply because someone didn't want to deal with it. And that is the antithesis of merit-based hiring. Well, the Biden administration took poor hiring practices to entirely new levels, though. In a desperate effort to break every perceived glass ceiling, to merely check off the blocks of the perceived outward intersectionalities, to advance the liberal cause of diversity, equity, and inclusion, the Biden administration saddled the American people with one questionable hire after another. I mean, we now have the first Supreme Court justice who was advanced by the Biden team solely on the first hurdle being that she was a black woman. I mean, she's a jurist. She's got a strong resume. I'm sure she's a smart person, even though she can't define a woman. But do we know for a fact that she was the best candidate for the job when everybody else who is not a black woman was automatically not even considered? How about this? We have a press secretary. She draws the ire of the White House press corps daily, reading her pre-planned responses and treating members of the press dismissively, even rudely. So much so that one member of the press corps went on a national broadcast to point out how rude and ill-equipped she is, and that he had been openly discriminated against for daring to ask hard questions. But hey, she broke a glass ceiling. First ever openly gay black female press secretary. Whoop, whoop. How's that working out for us? Or how about the now former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy? There's a title. With a top secret clearance, mind you. He crowed to the world at large how he had been proud to have been the breaker of all the glass ceilings of all glass ceilings as the first non-binary cross-dressing deputy assistant secretary of anything, because certainly that's what makes him good for the job. Well, he was brought up on felony charges for theft and grand larceny, and that could net him 15 years in prison. Never mind that his far too open book life should have been disqualifying for a position of clearance or any position of any kind in government. With his noted positions out there in the world on keeping information from the parents of children in the school he used to work in, or his lecture series on gay kink and fetish, and the constant parade of photos of himself wearing outlandish garb, even bondage gear, and he got a top secret clearance? Look, these are the kind of things that happen when a hiring process is more concerned with breaking glass ceilings than they are with creating an effective organization. It's one thing to be an advocate for equal pay for women and for equal work done. It's important that handicapped individuals are not excluded from positions they can otherwise be reasonably accommodated to handle. No one should ever be told that they cannot have a job because of their skin color or their religion, and I get all that and I approve. But when we move past that point and we flip the script and we say that hiring is now based on whether you have enough people on the roll of a certain skin color, or that your hiring is tainted by a need to be seen as having enough LGBTQ staffers, especially when all else about the person's past is disregarded in order to bring their focus to the outward intersectionalities? All right. At that point, merit-based hiring is gone. We are no longer at that point hiring the best candidates. We have allowed DEI then to go from diversity, equity, and inclusion to actually stand for destruction, exhaustion, and implosion. The Trump administration is moving us away from trying to find the next glass ceiling to break. Outstanding. Because if you get down to it, glass ceilings, well, they're really not all they're cracked up to be. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even get into all the hires. I mean, like the dude that wears a dress and advocates for LGBTQ treatments on, or excuse me, transgender treatments on minors. I mean, I could go right down the line and all the people that kept their jobs when they screwed up in the Biden administration. I just look at it and think, okay, somewhere along the line, meritocracy needs to apply because you're a public servant, and yet all you're doing is serving your intersectionality needs.